Let me start with one thing. So basically, you've got the form. Well, once you start with your first question, which is your experience with role-playing games in general.
Yes. Do you have experience with Dungeons & Dragons / role-playing games?
You know, I played it on the bus in like elementary school.
On the bus?
Yeah. It was a long bus ride back in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And Final Fantasy games, that's about it. You know, most of the games I play, I design myself, I guess, and forced to put back together.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't really play that many role-playing games, unfortunately.
Okay. That's fine.
But I understand the basic mechanics of it. I mean, I do Comic-Cons all the time. You know, okay. I understand these people.
You've certainly seen it. Well, the structure of this is based on the character creation aspect of that. And because we were talking about wanting to talk to creators and how creators do so many different things. When you call yourself a writer, you call yourself an artist, and encompasses a bunch of different stuff. And we realized that the character creation form lends itself to that. So this is iteration 14
yes.
of our
okay,
form.
Cool.
We keep testing it.
What takes you to Comic-Cons?
That's where I sell my work. I do make a web comic. It's kind of I don't do it very often anymore. Called Reaper Graphics since 2005 or so, and I've always been a woodworker and a visual artist. And it's when you're making things like jigsaw puzzles, you sometimes don't exactly have a show that's geared specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when there are jigsaw puzzle shows, avoid them at all costs. So I was sort of going to a lot of art festivals and Christmas sales and high school gymnasiums.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going to some comic conventions and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. People are a lot nicer here and I'm actually, making some money. And so I've been doing a lot of those as well as maker fairs and things like that.
Yeah.
So I've been doing stuff like San Diego Comic-Con. That's my eighth year coming up this summer.
So now we'll get to the character sheet, and the first thing on there is your character name, and that can be your name.
Okay, my name is Chris Yates.
Great.
Okay.
Pretty imaginative.
Put it right in
there. Some
people
just call me Yates.
And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to roll a four-sided die, and what we're going to ask you to do is come up with a motto that is the number of words that appear on this die.
Okay.
And the number is 2.
Welcome once again to The Artist Rolls, presenting a new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Jamie Gower.
And I'm Sean Mitchell. And today we're with Chris Yates, a puzzle maker and a multi-talented artist. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right. Okay. So we've got your two-word motto. Let's hear it.
Be patient.
Be patient.
Be patient.
I actually got pretty lucky with that role because that is my motto. Actually, I have it on a T-shirt that I used to give to kids when they successfully completed one of my workshops. It's a great motto for, I think, anybody, because if you want to be good at something, you want to be better at something, you want to just understand the possibilities of how to do something, the first thing you have to do is just let yourself be patient. Anything that I do, from video editing to woodwork to writing a comic script, I think that's sort of the first thing I have to think about and not, get frustrated that my first hour of working on something, especially if it's a new thing, I'm not creating the Mona Lisa,
Does it get easier to be patient or is it always?
But I think it's something that's not innate in everybody. And there's some people that are the most talented people in the world, and it's impossible to get them to focus on anything for too long. It's something that you can definitely get better at, but I think some people are slightly more patient than others. And I am not the most patient person in the world. That's why I have to have the motto, to remind myself to try to do that.
That's an interesting take on a motto, actually, is something that you aspire to, not that necessarily embodies who you are.
Well, yeah, because one of my other things is, I guess if I got 3, I would probably say always keep improving.
Uh-huh.
Something along those lines, because it's boring to sort of just peg yourself at where you are.
Yeah.
Like, this is my motto, this is who I am. And I think you're right, it's more interesting especially as an artist, to say, okay, where am I going to be in the future? Mm-hmm. And what can I do to propel myself, you know, to get to the next step or the next thing I want to do with my career or my life or the different mediums I like to work in.
Cool.
That makes perfect sense.
We're going to move on to section two of the character sheet. It's the roles roll. We have a D8 and a D10, which we are going to roll for you, and we'll tell you what we're going to do after that.
Okay.
You got a 7 and a 6 for 13 points. What we're going to ask you to do is divide up those 13 points among those five roles you see there: studio artist, performer, writer, director, and producer.
Okay.
13 points. It's more than you can count on your fingers. So
this is true. This is true for most people, at least.
You take a shoe off, you'll be fine.
Okay, so I've got myself pegged at 6 for studio artist, since that's pretty much the core of what I've been.
Mm-hmm.
Is sort of coming up with ideas and just creating them myself, which I would say is sort of the independent activity. Performer, I have 2 because I have acted quite a bit, and not as much recently. I've done some video stuff here and there and done some theater. But I think also being an artist sometimes is being a performer, especially when I'm going to said shows and comic conventions and what have you.
Oh,
I gotta
absolutely
sit behind a table and entertain people and smile at them and explain, you know, what these crazy things are in front of me. So I think you're very lucky if you're like a, you know, what's the guy, the catcher in the rye, J.D. Salinger, mm-hmm. who doesn't have to perform at all to sell, you know, his piece of art. He can just hide in a cabin. A writer, I would say 3, because a lot of, you know, even coming up with visual art is sort of coming up with a vocabulary of your own and figuring out how to express ideas in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I said, I've done some, you know, comedy writing, comics. I used to do improv type stuff and things like that, some sketch comedy. But at this point, I can't do everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd say director and producer, I give myself 1 apiece, just because I feel like I've always had a little bit of that in me. Like producing is kind of like teaching in a way, you know. You're creating environments for people to learn and collaborate and push themselves farther, as well as when I've worked in, you know, jobs like when I was technical director of like a TV production studio or a portrait photography place, where you get to be less artist and more sort of facilitator of all the machines for the other artists to play with. So yeah, I've definitely dabbled in a lot of different things. So it's hard for me to say I'm an absolute, you know, 13 points towards any one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we generally find that that's the case. I'm interested in this idea that you write to help produce these other things. Do you actually write down puzzle ideas? Is that one of the things that ends up being a writing task for you?
Somewhat. Sometimes, actually, it's easier to write down an idea in words than it is to draw it. And to give yourself a little bit of a game, like, you know, I had this, you know, odd dream the other day that was looked like a graffiti mural, like it's sort of a big tag, very colorful, but was sort of animated and turning into an octopus. And I had written down in some sort of scrawled thing I keep next to my bed, just like graffiti octopus. And I'm like, what the heck is this? But then I get to sort of like come back to that idea and draw it out later. And it's probably different than what I sort of had in my head when I woke up. But it gives me a little bit of a game to play to make it interesting, rather than me just drawing out this design initially and then just tracing it onto a piece of wood. I get a lot of ideas in airport bars. I always try to have a little journal with me and write down things there. I don't know. And sometimes you get ideas for comics, or sometimes you get ideas for puzzles and all kinds of different things. It's just sort of, the airport bar is this weird place where there's just people coming and going, and they're sort of leaving this cloud, this sort of debris of ideas and feelings and emotions. And, you know, I don't want to sound too hippy dippy, but you can sort of pick up on it a little bit, you know? And
well, do you eavesdrop as well a little bit?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. It's one of the best things to do.
Yeah. Well, cause you're there for such a short time, right? Or it might be a long time, but it's a couple of hours or at most.
Yeah. And the conversations you sometimes have with these people, you know, you're probably never going to see them again in your life. So sometimes you have these conversations that are deeper and more trustful with these complete strangers than you do with your close friends. Cause you know, there's no ramifications, you know, if I come off like being a little too crazy or tell them these you know, the weirdest thing I've ever done, what have you.
Right. We're going to move on to section 3 of the character sheet, the mediums roll. Again, we are going to take that D8 and that D10 and give it a roll. And we get an 8. 8 points to distribute similarly among those mediums. Live, video, audio, physical, and print web.
Okay. I would say, let's see, 4 for physical, 2 for print web, and 1 each for video and audio. And live, I don't really do that much live stuff anymore. I mean, I am alive, and I
that's good.
Do stuff, but I'm not like sort of going out and performing live very often.
Well, the cons, I guess, you're sort of performing live.
Yeah, I would say that, but you know, it's hard because it's so much like it's almost all physical, but there's, you know, definitely a video component to my work and sort of different experimental phases, doing some animation here and there, doing some video stuff in college. And I did sort of a web series about a year ago, which I thought was pretty interesting. Did not get very much interest from the YouTube people, but I have no idea what YouTube people are interested in anyway.
Cats. Did it have cats in it?
Yeah, definitely not trying to be intellectual with your humor style and making really long, drawn-out visual jokes that are more Monty Python-esque than the kind of stuff that people like these days.
Right.
Audio, definitely a little bit of that. I used to play bass and keyboard and made music, you know, in different ways. But, you know, physical, definitely, you know, a 4. Because that's what I do. I make puzzles for the most part and little toys and sculptures. And there's something, I don't know, just wonderful about the tangible, you know, art you can touch, you know.
Right.
Things that it's sort of preserved. I don't have to back it up onto a hard drive, you know. Yeah. It's not going to disappear in the cloud.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the web, the print web. You know, my website's my main way of doing business. So I gotta run a website as well. As you know, make all this work. Otherwise, how am I going to sell it? You know, in this new day and age of making art and selling it online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's I don't mind doing that. I mean, writing code is not my favorite thing to do, but it sure beats trying to do the gallery system or the you know, selling it in stores all over the place, where I'm going to lose half my profit to the store,
right?
And have to do all this legwork wandering around the country with my wares.
Yeah.
I see you doing things with the jigsaw puzzle that I've just never seen done before.
Thank you.
The idea of the multi-level where the board itself is not flat.
Right, these sort of basically, like most of my puzzles are one layer of pieces inlaid into a tray.
Right.
So unless you turn the thing entirely over, the pieces will stay contained in there. The multi-levels just expand upon this concept by stacking extra, you know, base layers and piece layers that sort of recess up or down depending on how I build them. And that comes a lot from starting out sort of more in the sculpture side of things. And a lot of my initial work in college when I first moved out here were three-dimensional map models. So I would take a topography map of anywhere in the world, trace out the different contour intervals onto wood, cut them out, paint them, glue them back together, and you have a 3D model of a place in wood.
That's cool.
And so those were interesting to make, but they are also very time-consuming, expensive, fragile, and hard to sell. And so I sort of moved into jigsaw puzzles because it was essentially, I was using all the same techniques with just a different product in the end. And it was one of those things where, you know, there's stuff you like to do and people won't buy it, and there's stuff you hate to do and people love it. And then there's sort of the happy medium of something you don't mind doing that people will pay you for.
Right.
And so I just sort of kept making more puzzles and kept getting more innovative with it. And 10 years later, you know, this is my full-time job.
If there was something that it would just be what you really like doing,
that I just could do?
Yeah. Or would it
be
making
like the blank check, you know, question, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, probably, you know, if I just had an unlimited budget, I'd probably just buy a bunch of land and start building a house and maybe a little school and a museum or make weird art. You know, it's kind of just to be left to my own devices, I think, would be the most productive use of my time. You know, I like to try different things all the time. And if you talk to me 10 years from now, I may be, you know, teaching art somewhere in a boarding school, just exploring that avenue for
a
while.
Right, sure.
Because why not try a new adventure if you get bored of, you know, being covered in sawdust all day. You can go teach other kids how to be covered in sawdust all day, you know, and then you can try something else after. I'll be acting in London, you know, in my 50s, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, to say exactly what I'd be doing in the future is kind of, I don't know, it'd be kind of disappointing for me to know. It's sort of the fun of life.
How do you know the next step? Is it something you feel, or is it one of those things where you just kind of look around and go, oh, I'm over here now?
Sometimes it just happens, and sometimes you plan it out. And it's a lot of gut feelings and sort of like, this is getting stagnant. I'm getting bored with this. I should try putting some other, you know, irons in the fire and seeing how that works and playing around doing some podcasts or recording some music again or trying a new comic, you know, out. A lot of it's just sort of, I don't know, playing around with stuff and trying to at least have one thing in the background, like usually puzzles that I know is going to pay the bills at the end of the month, even if the experimental stuff doesn't work out. The things that I try to plan super long term are the ones that seem to not happen. The things that sort of are a shorter term idea and I just start doing it rather than thinking about it and planning it out for years are the ones that actually come to fruition.
Okay. Yeah.
If that makes sense. Any sense.
Yeah. Sometimes the best stuff is the stuff that sneaks up on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You've reached the halfway point of the artist roles. We'll be back in a minute with Chris Yates.
Hey, want to see graphs of our guests' answers? Of course you do. And you can find graphics for this podcast and all our episodes on theartistrolls.com. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at theartistrolls.
So please drop by, say hi, and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate your comments and your lavish, lavish praise.
All right, we're back for the second half of the artist roles with Chris Yates, and we're moving on to section 4 of the character sheet, which is style.
Okay.
Now, if you look down there on the character sheet, Chris, you'll see two axes.
Sure.
Collaborative to solo and prepared to spontaneous. Yes, I remember. Do you understand that graph?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I'm just going to, I don't need to roll anything on this one.
No rolling, no. Just decide where you fit.
As a general point, I'll show it to you if you can. Mm-hmm. I'd be somewhere to the northeast of the center.
Okay.
Not too far away, so.
So more on the spontaneous solo side.
Yeah, my assistant Emily is outside painting my puzzle pieces right now, so I'm definitely somewhat collaborative. But I'm definitely a little bit more spontaneous than prepared.
You have someone you work with who is helping you produce the puzzles.
Yeah, my friend Emily does most of the painting, as well as like some assembly and gluing and some other, helps me sell them at shows. And she has a degree in painting herself, and I'm pretty good with color, but she's a lot better at it than I am. So even though I'll give her basic ideas of what colors I want each sections of these pieces to be, I sort of let her go at it because I like to be surprised a little bit myself,
sure.
You know. And if you micromanage somebody, it's boring for them too. I mean, annoying. So,
yeah.
I like to give her some freedom with that kind of stuff. And she helps me out with the comics too. And I've done probably over at least 300 or 400 or 500 original puzzles that have been designed by other artists.
Oh.
And so that's always interesting because especially when you're getting that intimate with everybody's line work, because I'm, you know, got this tiny little 1/100 of an inch blade, you know, that I'm tracing out each contour of each piece with, you really sort of get to see how different people's, I don't know, art styles work when you get that close with their artwork. And you're like, oh, this is how they did the curves on this leg. I would have done it totally differently. Or artist B does everything a whole different way with the shading.
Very,
you know, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't think this would work, but it does.
Yeah.
And when you get that intimate with sort of their work, you get to see them in a different way, I think.
When you're doing, because it sounds like it would be quite the process, your puzzles are intricate, there's many, many pieces, and you're doing it all by hand. There's two things that can happen in a thing like that, is either your mind completely wanders, or it doesn't wander at all.
It's a little bit of both, I would say. As cheesy as it is to say, it's kind of like a Zen thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to... you've got to be focused enough to know what you're doing, but if you think too much about exactly what you're doing and exactly what your fingers are doing, it's hard to keep up with that kind of level of consciousness.
Yeah.
One metaphor I like to use is I used to play bass, and when you're playing jazz bass, often you have sort of, you know, five or six notes in your chord structure that you know are the good notes to play.
Mm-hmm.
And basically with that and the rhythm, you can mix them around in any order and play them in any sort of cadence you'd like. So I like to apply that to sort of jigsaw puzzle making, in that I have a vocabulary of different curves and flats and angles, that basically what we call joinery,
mm-hmm.
All the female and male parts that hook the pieces together. And so I have this sort of vocabulary of all these different nice joineries I like to use for different puzzles, but how I'm actually going to implement that, I generally improvise and just let my hands do it as I go. And sometimes I'll be thinking about something completely different.
Uh-huh.
But often when it's a super intricate puzzle, or if it's really large, it takes up a lot of concentration. Yeah, my mind is pretty much blank because I'm completely focused on this point of where the blade is intersecting with a line I drew, and making sure I'm constantly have those two things married mm-hmm. as I'm moving my hands around.
Mm-hmm. So are you improvising the joinery as you go?
Yep, for the most part.
Wow.
Yeah, some things I'll trace out and plan, especially if it's got to have a grid pattern or a lot of straight lines, or it needs to resemble a actual character or landscape or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the actual, you know, individual pieces within each color section, I pretty much make it up as I go. And again, that keeps it interesting for me. I get to play a little game and improvise at different points in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes with like the sculptures I was talking about before, that were the big map sculptures, 95% of the job is done by the time I've traced it out.
Yeah.
And then it's just following my instructions the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets kind of tedious. With the jigsaw puzzles, I can sort of, you know, make up all these different little things at each point in the process, and that keeps me entertained as I go. And sometimes I don't know what the puzzle's going to look like until it's done. And that makes it interesting for me, and, you know, keeps things fresh rather than just doing the same thing day in, day out.
Man, that does sound exactly like musical improv.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of sort of elements of things I've learned from music and theater that somehow go into the art of puzzle making, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Cool. Chris, we're going to move on to section 5 of the character sheet. That is the
Radical.
Superpower.
Okay.
Now, you've got 5 superpowers there. You've got 3 columns, have, seem, and want. And what we're trying to get at is, which one of those superpowers do you think you have? Which one of those superpowers do other people think you have? That's the seem. And which one of those superpowers would you like to have?
All right, I would probably say out of these 5, I would probably have the shapeshifter ability. Mostly because I've just done so many random sort of career changes in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I said, I did the puzzle thing for 10 years, but, you know, I worked as, you know, technical director for video production house, did portrait photography for a while. I made cabinets. I assembled dog kennels. I was a Statue of Liberty for a couple of weeks, you know, outside Liberty Tax Service on a street in Denver.
I know those guys.
Worked in sign making, worked in large format printing, worked at a packaging center. I've done music, I've done theater, done writing.
What did you come out of? What did you come out of RISD with?
Degree in sculpture, of all things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which I sort of did because I definitely liked wood and metal sculpture, but that major allowed us to have a lot of extra classes in different disciplines. Like, they encouraged you to not have to take too many core classes. Whereas if I went into like something like industrial design, all I would have been doing was industrial design for 5 years.
Hmm.
So doing sculpture allowed me to take classes in video and photography and jewelry and furniture design and technical theater, electronic music, stuff like that.
Cool.
Excellent.
All right, let me see.
How about your seam? What do people think you have? Somebody comes up and sees your work or sees what you do and says, wow, he must have elemental control.
The elemental thing, just because I'm pretty good at, you know, taking materials and shaping them however I wish.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But who can master every part of the physical world, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to think that people would think I have a pretty good sense of, you know, envisioning, you know, how things are and how to make them and mm-hmm. what have you. It's hard to say what other people would think of me. Okay, what do I want? That's the trick. I think probably telepathy. Even though I'm kind of more of a materials person, like I'd rather work with wood than I'd rather work with a bunch of people. I've always been pretty bad at sensing what people think. Like, I think I'm a pretty optimistic person, and for the most part, so I always just sort of assume that everybody's thinking good things, and then
sure,
often really? Like, you know, the least control I have about my career is other people. You know, sometimes somebody's going to say, you don't get this job, or you get this job, or we're not going to fund this thing, or, you know, we're not going to, I said I really wanted to do this commission, but, oh, no, I'm not going to pay you.
Right.
So sometimes I just don't understand people and why they do sometimes seemingly stupid, mindless, or hurtful things. And at least if I knew ahead of time that they were going to be like that, that I just wouldn't deal with them. And then the telepathy would help me find all the nice people who are going to be kind and honest and pay you at the end of the commission.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, generally, I don't get too far on the commission when if I've realized somebody's not going to follow through and give me money for it.
That's
you learn that over the years.
You just have to be patient, Jamie.
There you go. It comes around to the motto.
Oh, wow, he tied it back.
I'm all about that. Chris. So one of the things about Dungeons & Dragons, and maybe life, I don't know, is, well, at least for this character sheet, we rolled some dice for you.
Right.
So some luck is involved. And
For sure.
We like to know from all our guests what they think about luck, whether they believe in luck, whether, you know, do you have a philosophy about luck?
I think luck definitely exists. But you can't rely too heavily on it. Like, if you think it's like you're going to be Pharrell and you're going to be like getting lucky, you know, all the time, it doesn't happen that way. It's like, I think if you do get lucky, you get to seem to get something that you may not necessarily deserve or that you think you deserve at the moment. That's always a really nice gift. That's a great thing. But if you expect that you're going to just get your big break or something magical is going to happen to you, that's a bad cycle to fall into, because then you're not relying on your natural talents and the hand that you have in right now, or the character sheet that you roll, I guess. So I think you just sort of have to, I like to look at it as, you know, it's like, I pretty much know this is going to happen. This isn't going to happen. If this happens, that'd be great, but I'm not relying on it. You know, I'm not even thinking about it. It's one of those things in the back burner, and it'd be great if I, you know, got that, you know, that commission or that deal, or, you know, some awesome, amazing artist wants to suddenly work with me. Or I just find a $100 bill in the street, you know. But you can't go around being like, oh, this is my day. This is the day I'm going to find a $100 bill in the street, you know.
I like that. That answer.
Yeah, that's a cool view.
Yeah. All right, you got anything else?
Sure. Well, the main way of checking out my work as well as acquiring it is to go to my website, which is www.chrisyates.net. That's spelled ChrisYates.net. And we've got all kinds of stuff there, from jigsaw puzzles to toys to a t-shirt that says Be Patient on it.
Nice.
To all kinds of stocking stuffers for the holiday season. We got lots of stuff under $10. It's fun. And otherwise, you know, just be well, do good, you know, play with jigsaw puzzles.
What's the podcast?
Oh, right. And you can listen to my buddies who do the Colorado Podcast. That's a .org. I think they've got both .net and .org. You can just search for it on iTunes. And we've got a musical podcast that'll be coming out in a month or two, or it's called What Did I Just Listen To? About myself and another music nerd trying to stump each other with extremely obscure Dr. Demento type stuff.
Excellent.
but that's it for me, you know. It's I gotta get back to work in my my wood shop here in Boulder, Colorado. And
cool.
It's a pleasure talking to you guys.
It was a pleasure talking with you.
Our guest today has been Chris Yates. Thanks very much for joining us, Chris.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, guys.
Well, that's just about all the bits we packed into this MP3.
But we have a few left, so we can say thanks for listening. If you're new to the podcast, welcome.
And if you've been with us for a while, thanks for being the foundation of this podcast growing audience.
And if you aren't listening to this podcast right now...
Wait, how would they?
Then we're sending you this psychic message. Join us. Join us.
Wait a minute.
Hear my thoughts, non-listeners.
Hang on.
What?
First, wouldn't it just be simpler to ask everyone who is listening to share this podcast with friends, families, coworkers, and random strangers on the bus?
Yeah, I suppose that does make sense.
And secondly, if you're going to send a psychic message, you have to hold your hand up to your temple, like this.
Join us. Join us.
Oh, hey, that works really well. Let me try that.
Join us. Join us.
That's right.
At theartistrolls.com.